Otis Redding.
Woo! Thank you. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. We should take this time, Matt. You brought this guy to my attention last year. The founder of Stax Records, Jim Stewart, passed away this week.
92 years of age.
Yeah. What a legacy. What a legacy. Stax Records. Now, Stax is Memphis, for you folks who don't know. You know, we all know about...
We refer to them in my trade as the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated. Wait a minute. That one's been taken. That one's already...
Trademarked.
Yeah. I owe somebody money. So we all know about Motown, you know. Philly Sound, all the great meccas of recording. But Stax Records is responsible for Otis Redding, his career, Isaac Hayes, Sam and Dave.
Staples singers. Carla Thomas, who also did a duet Stax, with Otis called Tramp.
Booker T and the MGs, Albert King. And Jim Stewart was the founder of Stax Records.
And while Motown was kind of the polished label, Stax had that Southern soul, hit it hard kind of rawness that made their stuff special in its own way.
Yeah, man. Mr. Stewart was actually recognized by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame right back in, what was it? Let me see. There's a story. You plinked the story. Thank you. 2002. Was given the Ahmet Erdogan, the non-performing members of the industry making significant influence on pop music. That's the Ahmet Erdogan Award given by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. 92 is a great life, man. That's a long run, especially when you get to be a part of that much legacy, that much history. Stax Records plays 167 songs on the Billboard's Hot 100, and 243 songs on the R&B charts. Wow. So does do they get bought out by Atlantic? Is that what happened to Stax? I think I read that somewhere. Are they? They're not still making. Are they? Stax Records still produced?
It still exists as a label. They're still selling gear and have some artists. They launched a Colorado singer by the name of Nathaniel Rateliff into the
music. Oh my gosh,
world.
I love that!
Isn't he great?
He's fantastic.
And his at least some of his earlier stuff was on Stax.
No kidding. What's? Oh, he had a monstrous hit last year. Son of a bitch! Right.
Home that that was a few years ago.
Was it a few years ago?
Yeah.
Can we grab that
or something? Yeah.
Oh, because and this guy got his start on Stax.
Yeah.
Beautiful, just beautiful. And is it Rateliff?
Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Night Sweats, right?
Band. They released their self-titled debut on August 21st of 2015, and that was the one that was on Stax.
Right on. Yeah, I'd love to hear that a little bit of that because it's got a nice. Oh, brilliant. So rest easy, Jim Stewart, founder of Stax Records. Thank you for all the contributions to music and to life in general in America. Music Man is, it cuts through every boundary, bridges every divide. Music, music, music. Couldn't be more valuable art form. Are we allowed to play that song, by the way? Because it's a little on the...
I guess we can play the early part of it. I'm just looking to see.
No sweat. I can take a moment to reaffirm that eating crab and lobster on New Year's Eve is just considered bad luck. While it's considered, you know, a sign of prosperity in the West, because, you know, that's, we're all about showing off how prosperous we are in the West, the fact that crab and lobster either go backwards or sideways is bad luck at the new year. And you shouldn't do it. Here we go.
I'm gonna need someone to help me. I'm gonna need somebody's pain. I'm gonna need someone to hold me down. I'm gonna need someone to care. I'm gonna ride and shake my body. I'll start pulling out my hair. I'm gonna cover myself with the ashes of you. And nobody's gonna give a damn.
And that's what's referred to as a teaser.
Oh! You got- Well, give the
it's
name.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it's so a great gonna, song, but, so, yeah. but we like our jobs.
Yeah, so check out the rest of the chorus.
Good job, man.
Oh, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
You are the man, a man, a man. Real quickly, again, for good luck in the new year, don't eat crab, don't eat lobster. Eat black-eyed peas, greens, cornbread. Pork. Pork inspires progress throughout the year to come. Pork tenderloin, especially. Eat 12 grapes at New Year, one for each month of the year. Good luck in each month of the coming New Year. That's the Spanish and Mexican tradition. Pomegranates, they promote fertility, life, abundance in the New Year. Fish is a sign of abundance. It helps, brings in, it ushers in abundance in the New Year for the folks who eat fish at New Year's. Noodles represent longevity in the New Year. Nice, I like that. Rice, fertility and wealth. Okay. A round cake is a full circle of life if you eat a round, like a bundt cake, in the new year. I don't think you have to eat the whole cake. Just a piece of a round cake is a considered a traditionally lucky food. Round fruit, oranges, oranges and honey are good fortune, wealth, and gold in the new year. Lentils is every list of superstitious foods to eat at the new year. Lentils is on the list. I've even seen people who throw a coin into a pot of lentils and cook it with the lentils. And whoever gets the coin in their serving gets even more good luck. Like finding the king's cake? They have a little baby in a king's cake in New Orleans.
The New Orleans, the Mardi Gras tradition. Yeah.
Cabbage represents more money in the new year. Stuffed cabbage for New Year's Eve. So all
what
those
happens
things.
If you swallow the coin?
Boy, you are rushed to the emergency room and you start your year off
but do you have
with
really
a bang.
Luck after that?
I don't know. That's throwing money in the pot. That just seemed weird. I know that I'm very superstitious by nature, you know. I don't know why, but I've always been a superstitious kind of person. And it was kind of surprising to me to hear that crab is bad luck at the new year. But given the fact that my recent run explains quite a bit. So there you have it. We want to remind everybody once again, because we only have a limited window of time to do this, to help, to share this information with you, the audience, and for you to help and for you to share. It's holiday magic time here at Cairo News Radio. We joined Treehouse for the 34th year to help bring awareness and help support Treehouse and the work that they do for the foster care children in the state of Washington. At any point in time, 8,000 children, young adults, kids, are in foster care. And foster care means... It means that someone is helping a child in need, but also means a lot of movement, a lot of instability, a lot of you don't know what the next day is going to bring for a kid in foster care. And Treehouse does a lot to alleviate that, to give the kids in foster care in Washington a sense of stability and normalcy so the kid in foster care in Washington feels just like every other kid they go to school with, whether it's a new clothes, whether it's a suitcase, because foster kids move a lot. Sometimes with only a trash bag to take their belongings from one foster situation to the next. the Treehouse store lets foster kids go and shop 3 times a year at no charge. Go and grab items, whether it's clothes, whether it's decorations for their room in their new foster home, or a suitcase to take their things from one place to the next. That's supported by our work here with Treehouse here at Holiday Magic and Cairo News Radio. If you go to the MindNorthwest.com site, there is a link at the top of the page to Holiday Magic. Again, it's our 34th year. It's the first year for our auction, the Holiday Magic Auction of 2022. There's a lot of different packages available, sports experiences, dining experiences, your chance to sit in on your favorite Cairo News Radio show, whether it's the morning news with Dave and Colleen, whether it's G and Ursula, John Crowley and Sherry Elicker, or the Cairo Nights program. You could come and join us. And we are a bargain right now, folks. Come and have a Zeke's Pizza with us. A little pizza party here at Cairo Nights. You can go to a Kraken game and eat at the Marco Polo Bar and Grill. You can bid on all these items. They're all available right now for you to peruse and make a bid on. Seahawk games, Mariner experiences, restaurant experiences, a day of fishing with Dory Monson and Tom Nelson. Or you can just, out of the goodness of your heart, because this is such a worthwhile cause, make a donation right now. Go to the website, the Treehouse Holiday Magic website, right at link from MyNorthwest.com, and you can make a donation right now, whether one time or reoccurring. And everything you do to help, it helps. It really, really helps. Believe me.
And our reporter team here at Cairo News Radio has been bringing us stories. In the spirit of our 34th annual Holiday Magic campaign, Cairo News Radio's Heather Bosch has this story about a foster mom who says Treehouse made all the difference.
When Tiffany Gorski first met the 15-year-old girl who would become her foster daughter,
I saw all of the potential that she had in her, and I wanted to be able to give her a stable environment that could really help her unlock all of the potential that she was just holding on to and couldn't unleash because of her instability.
Gorski says Treehouse helped her provide that stability. For instance, her daughter had been in and out of several homes and therefore several schools, which can make education a challenge.
But a lot of kids go to the same school. They get to know the administration. They get to know their teachers. Kids in foster care, when they're having to jump around from school to school, building relationships can be very difficult, and knowing how to approach situations in the different environments can be difficult to figure out how to navigate.
So Treehouse assigned her daughter an education advocate.
They stepped in and they were huge helps in talking with the school administration, helping her find different ways to complete assignments so that she could be successful.
Gorski says Treehouse not only supported her daughter's education, but helped her with what Gorski calls life skills, like learning to drive. That sounds pretty basic, but for a foster kid, she says, it's huge.
And whether it be to get to work or to school or to stay connected with friends and family members.
Treehouse paid for her daughter's driver's ed and car insurance. As a social worker herself, Gorski knows the nonprofit's dedication to foster children.
They do so many things for foster kids. It's just unreal.
Seeing firsthand the nonprofit support her daughter's education, grow her skills and confidence.
It's just, there's no words for it. It's just absolutely amazing to see all of the success she's having and all of the things that she's accomplishing. She's such an amazing kid. Just having people believe in her has really shown what she's really capable of.
Heather Bosch, Cairo News Radio.
Outstanding. Great, great, great cause, folks. Great cause. You can go to the Cairo, the My Northwest webpage and link to the Cairo News Radio Holiday Magic donation page and either bid on a package or make a donation right now. We'd appreciate that. We're having great success so far this year. We'd like to keep going, and we'd like to surpass our goals. We'd like you to help do that. And I know that this, you know, we're kind of working you over this week, but that's okay. It's what we do. You know, we don't ask for funds to drive the radio station. That's what the nice folks who advertise here do. But we give ourselves and our time and our broadcast capabilities and the staff here, like Heather, like all the staff, Sam Cunningham was the best. I always get that. That's a football player from my past.
Yeah, yeah.
Sam Campbell, everybody who does the reporting here at Cairo News Radio that's done these features to highlight the work that Treehouse does. We appreciate their efforts, and we do this because we know it's such a worthwhile cause. We'd appreciate if you guys could do something to help out as well. It's Cairo News Radio. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. There's a local story, another story tonight about a power station attacked. First, we had the story down in North Carolina that was, and I'm not sure if that's, I kind of brought this to you because a friend of mine who lives in the area had firsthand knowledge of what went on in North Carolina. And apparently, in North Carolina, there was that attack on a power substation that left, I think, 100,000 people without power. Some folks are just now getting power. I think some folks, it's almost all restored. But these attacks are becoming kind of widespread. The Cairo Newsroom reported that we had an attack here in Washington about a month ago and in Oregon as well. A coordinated effort to try to take out power to a large portion of people. There have been reports of social media chatter among extremist social media platforms with plans to try to coordinate attacks on larger cities like New York or Washington, D.C. It's just, it's mind-boggling that people have become so fired up about their beliefs and their causes that they're willing to take extreme measures like sabotaging public services to make a point.
They take culture war literally.
Yes, seriously. There's a local event that's coming up that is... It's a cultural issue. I don't know how to frame this out. There's an event coming up this weekend, and there's already talk of protests against it. And there's now a request for rallying support for this event. We'll tell you about that when we come back to Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. Welcome back to Cairo Nights, the story of the power stations being sabotaged and attacked across multiple states. First, North Carolina, there's a story now that the Washington and Oregon were targeted a month ago. Now, a power station in South Carolina, there's social media chatter calling for certain groups to attack major cities like New York, Washington, D.C., to take out power grids. Texters to the show here at... 888-973-5476. Please don't be quick to call it domestic terrorism. We don't know that. You're right. But law enforcement communities and our own intelligence community federally are thinking that since the chatter they monitor on a regular basis on certain platforms are where domestic terrorists spread information, make plans. That's where they're seeing this type of information. So they've got a pretty good idea what's going on. They don't know everything yet, of course. Everybody's still investigating. There's a local business that is having a drag story hour. They do it the second Saturday of every month. The Brewmaster Tap Room. And now it's being... there's chatter about protests, about drag story hour. Folks don't know how to deal with drag, with drag queens, who read books to children. Folks are very worried, and some folks are paranoid. I'm giving my own opinion, and the word groomer is thrown around far too often, far too easily. And it implies an insidious and perverse intention. And I can honestly tell you that from my own personal experience, that it hasn't been what I've experienced when I've met people in the drag community, especially at a drag story hour involving children.
And people labor under the assertion or the mistaken impression, rather, that all drag is sexualized, which is simply not the case.
Not the case. We've talked about this a couple times before, but it's as these stories tend to repeat themselves, I think the message needs to be repeated as well. Drag has a spectrum. there, of course, is adult drag that is sexualized. That is drag queens in fishnets and provocative costumes and doing provocative entertainment for adults in adult environments. And there is drag that is, believe it or not, age appropriate and family friendly. It's costuming, folks. It's Gertrude from JP Patches. It's not grooming. It's not sexualized. It's not predatory.
Were people freaked out when Mrs. Doubtfire was released?
No, nor were they when Tootsie was released with Dustin Hoffman. You know, this is a part of culture that you may not understand, may not be familiar with, may not be comfortable with. I can respect that. There's plenty of elements of culture that I'm not comfortable with. There's plenty of elements of culture that are inappropriate for various situations and various audiences. Amongst that is drag. Some drag is inappropriate for audiences of all ages. Drag Story Hour isn't one of those arts. It's not predatory. It's not sexualized. As stories of these protests for the Drag Story Hour at the Brewmaster Tap Room this Saturday, as stories of the protests became more prevalent, the folks at Brewmaster Tap Room issued a statement, which I'll take a time to read it here. It's to our community, it says. This is on their Twitter feed. Thank you all. Thank you for all of those that have reached out to us over the last 24 hours. We're aware of the chatter and threats. Every month we get emails and phone calls about our drag queen story time. Never have we had issues, but this time feels different. And this is again from the folks at Brewmaster's Tap Room. This took on a life of its own. And though we have shared in the past why we hold drag queen story time, we thought this would be a good time to revisit this so everyone is clear on where we stand as a business. We have always strived to be inclusive for everyone. We may mess up and make mistakes, but we will never stop working to make our taproom a community center where anyone and everyone should feel safe to be their most authentic selves. Introducing children to different people that they may not normally interact with on a regular basis helps them to understand that we're all different and there's nothing wrong with that. It's what makes us a better society. The more positive and fun interactions children have with others, the more apt they are to be empathetic, sympathetic, and supportive of those around them. It also gives children that may be struggling with their own identity to see that their community is supportive and inclusive. That's who we are. That's who we'll always strive to be. Welcome to the Brewmasters community. We're happy to have you. Cheers and solidarity, Marley Rao, founder of the Brewmasters Tap Room. And as, you know, I talked about this before, and I'm the story hour in, or the attack on the power station in North Carolina was to stop a drag show. That was the intent initially that was reported locally.
And afterwards, which I thought was a beautiful thing, people rallied around and they kept the show going for 2 hours with the lights from the cell phones in
right.
the crowd.
Exactly right. And, you know, that was a club. That was an adult club. That type of drag performance probably, you know, had some elements that wouldn't be appropriate for an audience of all ages. But that it wasn't that they were trying to stop the show to keep kids safe. That's one of the pretexts of protesting these type of shows.
But this event in Renton seems like such an accepting, warm, above board event. And it also seems like, it's funny to me how people talk about, you know, in school, they want parental choice. They want parental choice on all these different things. But they're very critical of parents who would choose to expose their kids to this in a safe environment and associate them, like the statement said, with a diverse group of people. And I think, you know, parental choice is great, but there are a lot of parents who are choosing to take their kids to this event and diversify the culture that they're aware of.
And there are events all over our area. There are tons of drag queen story times, story hours at bookstores. I think Third Place Books does one. You know, the Brewmasters is in Renton. And you can find information if you're so inclined. If you want to go and support this community, if you want to go and have your kid experience this pretty magical performance. You know, the fact that people who are opposed to this don't just choose to ignore it and let people live their own lives independent and free to be who they are and make the choices they make. They want to come out and protest it because it's, in their minds, tawdry and insidious and dangerous. And I just operating from a position of complete ignorance to the situation, bringing your fears and phobias with you to come after a community that has in recent times been so targeted with violence and hate, more so than any time in our history. You'd think we'd be moving forward and progressing as an inclusive society that accepts people who aren't the same as us. Kind of the whole idea of America.
And from a practical standpoint, if you believe in freedom, being obsessed with how other people choose to dress or express themselves or live their lives, as long as they're consenting adults, is not a healthy thing.
It's really not. And I know this is an easy target for you if you have paranoias and fears, because you don't really understand what the culture is about. You haven't taken the time to get to know anybody who's involved in the culture. This might be an opportunity to do that.
One of my all-time favorite lines came from a solo record from Richard Ashcroft, lead singer of The Verve. And the lyric was, "Paranoia's the destroyer of my soul." Being paranoid and living in fear is no way to live life when you should be seeking understanding of other people.
It's like taking poison waiting for the other guy to die. Paranoia is, you know? Anyway, we just wanted to mention it. So if you are so inclined, Brewmasters in Renton this Saturday, you can look them up. They got a Facebook page. Nice work. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. Hey, if it's not your cup of tea, I get it. But live and let live, man. We'll be right back after these. Christmas lane, Matt. you know, there's some folks will have their prejudices and their their preconceptions about an issue like drag queen story time, and no amount of reassurance or information or disproving their preconceptions will do any good. And that's fine. It's not our job to change your mind. It's our job to tell you how we feel about stuff, about the stuff going on in our community, about how, you know, certain phobias, when played upon, can lead to violence and danger. And that's been the case with the trans community, with the drag community in recent years, last couple years especially. An incredible increase and harassment and violence against that community. And I believe it's based in a misunderstanding, if not an ignorance, of what the intent is. Some people seem to judge all by the worst in a particular group. That's a dangerous thing to do. I try not to do that. I really do. People often give me grief that I'm anti-conservative movement. I'm not. I'm anti-extremist in any way, shape, or form. Is there a drag performer who has bad intentions toward the arena of grooming? Possibly. With so many people experiencing that culture, it's probably likely that there is a bad actor or more than one bad actor in that arena. I wouldn't begin to judge all of them by the actions of the worst example of that community. You know, not all drag is sexual. Not all drag performers are strictly adult performers with adult content aimed for adults. It's not the case. It's like a love story on the Hallmark Channel. Two people in flannel cuddling in front of a fireplace next to a Christmas tree. And in the other end of the love spectrum is a guy bringing a pizza in a video on the internet who has a happy ending at the end of the day. Everything in between is the spectrum of love stories. There's that much diversity in the spectrum of drag performance. It's not all adult sexualized content. And if you think that it is all that content, you should probably educate yourself. I know if more people were educated about the diversity of what the drag art form represents, there might be less harassment and violence against that community. I know because I've got friends who are in every element of the LGBTQ spectrum. I've got numerous family members who are in that group, who live every day worried about being accepted, if not harassed, and a little education, a little understanding, a little empathy would do us all good in every aspect of our life. You know, it couldn't hurt you to become more aware, educated of who people are. And again, pointing to the Brewmaster Taproom's statement to the community. Introducing children to different people that they may not normally interact with on a regular basis helps them to understand that we're all different and there's nothing wrong with that. It makes us a better society. Couldn't have put it better. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We will do our best to give you a wide variety of topics that we bring to the air. Some of them may rub you the wrong way. Some of them may get you fired up. Might offend you. Might worry you. Might play upon your fears and phobias. It's not our intention to make you angry or paranoid or, you know, uncomfortable. It's our mission to try to bring the world that we see into you, to your home, to your radio. We're glad you're a part of the show. We appreciate your input at the text line, 888-973-5476. It would do us all good to learn a little bit more about the things we don't know and don't really understand. How can more information, more knowledge about stuff be a bad thing? We'll be right back after these.